Franchise QB is the number one need for every single team everywhere. Do you know who needs them? Do you? Because we're going to tell you today on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. This is Locked On NFL Draft, your team every day, no matter what team you are, here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We have it all for you on every platform for free. If you're new, click that YouTube like and sub. We have a lot coming up for you. Luke Ingman joins me today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, NFL 33 and RGR Football. Let's get into the QBs. Luke, how are you?
What's up, brother? Hey, absolute honor just to be sitting here in this chair next to you, filling in for the legend, Eric Crocker. Huge fan of everything you guys do on this show. And I guess as a draft pundit myself, I can't wait to just start diving into this 2023 class, some of these QB needy teams over the next few months. I know you'll be down in Mobile next week at the Senior Bowl. Always kind of the official, unofficial kickoff to draft season for most people. So yeah, man, I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a ton of fun. And last year's quarterback class was kind of a conundrum, right? Mm-hmm. We thought maybe we'd see some movement early. We didn't. So really, we got to take a step back now. And today, we're going to cover for all of you guys who are the clear QB needy teams and who are the sneaky ones that might catch you off guard. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Houston Texans might be in the market for a quarterback. Yes, that happens to be true. The consensus seems to be that it's Bryce Young just because – a lot of people have him up top. He's up top of my list. I will tell you that too. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Houston Texans feel that way. And if there's ever a team that might be a little bit out on a limb, it might be the leadership there in Houston. But just from your perspective, I certainly believe they have to have a quarterback no matter what. They might even tree it up to get one. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Do you agree? Do they have to come away with a quarterback in one of these slots they have?
I mean, listen, Davis Mills, fun story, right? A guy I don't think realistically anyone thought was going to come in, though, and just put the franchise on his back and take over. They tried it. They got a little taste. Didn't work. So now I think they've kind of established he's not the long-term answer there. And that's okay, too. It only cost you a third-round pick, not the end of the world from a front office perspective. I don't think anyone's going to tell you to hand in your keys to the building because you took on a swing on a quarterback on day two. But now the question becomes, do we go find a veteran? Or do we run it back with a new young quarterback in the draft? And I think there's no question, looking at this loaded class and where they're selecting at number two overall, like you mentioned, there's just an extreme high probability they'll not only select a quarterback early, it's probably not out of the question they'd be willing to move up one spot to go get their guy if they do indeed fall in love with one of those big three.
We're going to talk about that scenario specifically tomorrow, so don't miss that one as well. But for me, they want to be in the position the Bears are in right now. Bears got their franchise guy 2 years ago. Now they're in the driver's seat for trade value, for just selecting the guy that they want. But they're not alone. It is the Houston Texans. The next one up at number four right now is the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if they stay there either. But this is a franchise that's been kind of under duress through this process. Chris Ballard made some, I think, very candid and very honest comments this offseason about where he fell short in making some of this leapfrog mobility from veteran to veteran to veteran, and what did you actually get out of it? Proves it's not very much. So I think this is the year that they really want to invest. I'm not sure that they are sold on the guys that we're sold on, but I do think that whether it's at four or whether they become active in the trade market, they have to have one no matter what as well. I don't think a veteran's in their future. Do you?
No, I'm with you. Like Chris Ballard, he really did everything he could not to overreach in the draft on a quarterback the last 2 years. Instead, he goes the veteran route with Wentz and Matt Ryan. Seemed plausible on paper. Obviously, didn't work out. Matt Ryan, one of the worst quarterback EPAs in the entire NFL last season, meaning he did the least with what he was given on a down-to-down basis. And so now, sitting with the fourth pick, I think there's no question they need to take a quarterback. Big question is, will they have to move up to go get their guy, knowing full well there's a legitimate scenario here where the first three picks are all quarterbacks? Now, I will say, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but come draft night, play this back. I'm telling you, it won't sound so far-fetched. Chris Ballard is a GM who really values the tools and the traits of players as much as any other GM in the league. And in this class, if you're only looking at the upside and just raw physical tools a player brings to the table, of these quarterbacks, I'm sitting here looking, maybe nobody's got a higher ceiling than Florida's Anthony Richardson. And I know, as wild as it sounds now, if it did actually go quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3, and they were only left with Richards as an option, I just wouldn't be surprised in the least if they pulled the trigger there either.
I hope they pull the trigger to get out of that, because that's a mistake.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
We definitely will. I think that there's a lot that has to go into it. There's two other teams right now that you can project need a quarterback. One is the Carolina Panthers, sitting at 9 currently. They definitely are on everybody's radar for making that big trade up. Is it to 3 with the Cardinals? Is it to 1? Are they in the mix there? But the other one that I don't think is settled now, because I actually think it will be a veteran in Las Vegas. But if not, if they decide we just can't take that risk and we have to start from ground zero, they could be another team that would be interested in a quarterback there. Again, pushing what? 4 now in the first 7 picks. Do you think that's legitimate?
I think it certainly needs to be discussed. I think this is where the conversation becomes a lot more interesting, because this is a team drafted in the top 7, as you mentioned, that just right now, I think a lot of us, just the majority, it just doesn't feel like they're looking at the draft route for a quarterback, despite moving on from longtime veteran Derek Carr. I just get this feeling Josh McDaniels maybe already feeling a little bit of heat in Vegas. Doesn't want to sit around and wait and try to develop a young signal caller. I just don't. But of these quarterback needy teams in the top 10, the Raiders do not feel like a lock to be in the hunt to draft one of these guys and hit the reset button. I think instead they probably look long and hard at maybe a guy like Jimmy G. Obviously, there's already previous ties there with him and McDaniels. He had a lot to do with that pick by the Patriots in his time in New England. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Who the heck knows what happens with Tom Brady? Goes without saying. That would spike McDaniels' interest quite a bit. You bring him in with the NFL rushing leader, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller. Maybe you use that 7th pick instead on an offensive tackle. You see what happens. But huge question mark if Brady would even sign off on that, obviously. Jimmy G, of all those scenarios, I think is the much more likely scenario there. But just knowing McDaniels has called plays for him before, built an offense around him before, I think there's a lot of ways you can start to connect the dots there with Jimmy G.
I do think the Raiders quarterback next season will be a former Patriot one way or the other. We'll talk about all those scenarios in upcoming weeks, folks. But there's a few more teams that have to have one. There's a few more teams that maybe you don't think so, but I'm going to tell you why it's a good reason. Before we get to all of that, because there's so much to talk about, we got to give you our newest friends and make sure that you know about this message from our friends at LinkedIn Jobs. Because as a small business owner, somebody that needs graphic artists and editors and the whole nine yards for all of my businesses, I got to have qualified candidates, and so do you, no matter who you're trying to hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find your candidates quickly, more efficiently, and make sure that they're qualified for your open jobs with specific targeting tools. Go beyond the resume data that Insights give you and get your job post company to their 875 million users that can spread that word around. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs for you and connect with them fast and for free. All you got to do is go to LinkedIn Jobs. It helps you find those qualified candidates you're looking for super fast. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Now, as we get back to the second tier of have-tos, it becomes a little bit muddier. I will say it's the sneaky ones that I think are going to be the most fun of this draft. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, say, the second tier, and I always call that 11 through 22, who's going to take what? Who could use one? I actually feel like despite all the back and forth and 3 viable names in Washington, I think the Commanders could still be in the market for it, because I don't think anybody has proven, whether it's Heinicke, whether it's anybody else, I'm not even going to say Carson's last name because I don't want to jinx it. He might break. But you never know who could be there. If they can find an upgrade that they believe in, I think the Commanders could be in the market for that. Is it nuts?
No, I don't think it's nuts by any means. Think about it. It's a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have one, you got to keep trying to swing and go get that franchise guy. Just think, it's so cloudy right now in that quarterback room. Sam Howell showed just a flash for what, a quarter and a half. Taylor Heineke's still around. And then, of course, the third guy we won't mention. But I think when you look at their draft picks and ammo and just the situation that we assume is going to unfold on draft night, these four quarterbacks likely to go pretty early, three of them for sure. And Washington's sitting all the way there at 16. It's going to take a lot to move all the way up. They don't have a third round pick this year. It's certainly not out of the question. I would actually, for one, I would applaud them to at least take a big risk and try to go get your guy, especially in a class like this. But just given how many different layers there are to this thing right now, I'd put it at far less than a 50% chance.
Yeah, I have to think so as well, but they got to be paying attention. The question is whether you trust what your scouting department's going to come up with to find the right answer. But that leads us to another team that I don't think there's any question, whether you believe Tom's fed up or not. Seeing him in Tampa Bay is a stretch for me either way, whether he chooses to continue his career, which I think he will, or not. I'm not going to ask him any questions because, you know, he'll get a little fired up. But they need a quarterback in Tampa. I don't think there's any way around that. And so this is, becomes the question of who's the third-tier guy that might go to them.
I don't know. I think right now, just taking an even step back from that question, I think there's only two real options. Either you got to convince Tom to come back, run it back one more time, say, hey, listen, we just fired Byron Leftwich. You can come in and handpick whatever guy you want to run this offense. You're going to get your three starting offensive linemen back, including center Ryan Jensen, the Pro Bowler Tristan Wirfs. We're going to fix the defense in free agency best we can and maybe come out of the draft with somebody like Bijan Robinson to come help you out. So I think he thinks long and hard about running it back one more year with Tampa. We all know the personal life, the family situation he's got going on. I think the last thing Tom wants to do is uproot that whole thing and leave Florida. So I just think Tampa's plan A has to be keeping Tom. If not, though, you're right. All of a sudden, the options become pretty limited. If that's plan A, plan B, I think maybe you just cut your losses, throw your hands up, and you say, you know what? It was a heck of a run. Maybe we just roll with Kyle Trask, maybe a day three developmental guy next year. You do everything you can to try to win the Caleb Williams sweepstakes in 2024, or at least one of the top quarterbacks to come out next season. Because here's the thing, without Brady, even with someone like Derek Carr, I don't know if that roster's winning 9-10 games. So sometimes maybe the best thing to do, as hard as it is, strip the whole thing down to the studs and start over. Easier said than done. I get it. But I think it's kind of black and white right now for me, just when I look at the team, the roster, and the position they're in right now, because you're not going to find anyone that can just save your franchise with the 19th pick. You're just not. So you're fooling yourself if you think that's the answer. But I think, unlike you, I think Tom Brady might be a little bit more willing to run it back one more year.
Well, let's find out, because he's not the only one that has questions. Before we get to the sneaky teams, the ones that might throw wrenches into these plans, the last one that I think we have to seriously question now is what's going on with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Bottom line, this whole thing has come down a lot more strangely than I thought it would have. There's all this social media. I took stuff off and whatever. The profiles mean nothing. Kyler Murray should have taught you all that. Just taking Instagram pictures down doesn't actually mean anything. You could still get the bag. The question is whether the Baltimore Ravens are willing to do it. The question's never changed. It's been that way for a year. It's still the only question that matters. I still think no matter what, even if they manage to retain, they have to have a backup system in place, a plan B, like you said earlier. I think Baltimore's also got to be in this back end range where they have to look for a diamond in the rough at quarterback.
Oh, no doubt, for sure. I mean, if you ask anybody from Lamar or anybody on his side or in his team and in his circles, he's not playing another down for Baltimore. Now, could be just a smokescreen. Obviously, there's a lot of leverage trying to go on right now, a lot of games being played. But, you know, if we look at certain other trades that have just gone down, even recently, Russell Wilson, what, three first rounders and some change? Deshaun Watson, three first rounders and some change. The thing is, though, you know there's going to be a multitude of teams banging at the doorstep trying to get in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, because a guy like that at such a premium position and as young as he is just doesn't come around very often. They just don't. So they need to have a plan in place. And when we look at the free agents, I know we'll get into a little bit later on moving forward in the draft process and just the draft position that they're in at 23, there's not a lot of great options right now if you're a Ravens fan. So I think trying to figure out everything and anything you can do to fix that relationship with Lamar is got to be priority number one.
You don't see MVPs get away from their team very often.
It never happens. This is crazy. What are we even talking about?
could be another one. We'll talk about that coming up on tomorrow's show. Mm-hmm. But that leads us into, what do you do if you're one of the playoff teams that needs something like this? It's a tough road, and we are to the Super Bowl region here, folks. We're really excited about our newest betting partner, and that is FanDuel. You know why? Because they are the number one sports book in America, and they help everything get better for you. They have so many great features and tools to make sports betting fun and easy. Right now, our new customers can join and get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is go sign up below here at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel's been your favorite bets are easy, from money line to point spreads, player props. You can wrap them all up if you want and do a same game parlay. That seems to be the way that the industry is going right now. And if you're new to it, that means putting them all together in the same kind of contest. The app is super easy to use. It's safe and secure, makes your life easier. So all you need to do, again, for you not to miss out, go place your first $5 bet at FanDuel.com/lockedon, and you get $150 in free bets following that. Win or lose, it's all at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more fun with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. This is where it comes down to the fun part, because I like the blows out of the blue. I like bombs from downtown. Mm-hmm. And when we take a look at who could sneak in there and do something, my favorite team that everyone seems to think is going defense is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Maybe as a guy who's a little bit older than most people who do this job, I'm just understanding that Geno's getting older every second of the day, and I'm not convinced he can be the future. I think they need to take a shot. If he is able to perform at this level next year with Kenneth Walker, with the two tackles, with the Tariq Woolen out of the blue, if he can sustain his performance from his rookie season, they're not going to be in position to be at number five again for a while. So you got to strike while the iron's hot, as far as I'm concerned. Now, they are also a team that has two picks in the first round. We'll talk about that in the trade show coming up. But I feel like sneakily, John Schneider needs to prioritize the long-term future of the quarterback position, not just 2023.
What a rare, unique situation these Seahawks are in. Not only killed their last draft, but everybody wrote them off for dead. Russell's gone. Good luck with Geno. And what does he do? It brings them to the playoffs. But now they get four more picks in the top 53 this year. And like you said, including a top five. It's just a rare, unique position that you rarely will ever find yourself in. And now not only do you have a top five pick, but it just happens to be a great quarterback class. So again, most important position in all of sports. Maybe now is the time. You're right, Ryan. Maybe now is the time to think about grabbing that long-term guy for the future. And what a rare situation, too. What a luxury to not have to start this guy right away. One of my biggest pet peeves is throwing these guys in the fire too early, too soon. Messes with their psyche. You get to let him sit for hopefully a year, maybe even longer, as long as you ride out that Geno hot wave and just kind of sit there and develop him and let him progress under your system with a veteran like Geno Smith. So super rare situation. Can't wait to see what they do with those four early picks this year. They killed last year's draft to add on to that, knowing one of them is going to be a top five pick, most likely, is just going to be wild to watch.
I'm really excited to see it, because I didn't foresee it working out this way, to tell you the truth. I expect them to be in this range, not because of a trade value,
right,
but because I didn't expect them to perform this well. Backing that up, I think, is difficult for an older quarterback, so maybe they can pull that off, and we'll see what John Schneider actually thinks. Mm-hmm. But they're not alone. Changes are going on, and I want to know exactly what's going to happen when it comes down to the Jets. Can you trust Zach Wilson? I don't think so. Now, sitting at 13, that's a difficult proposition to be able to be in position to take somebody you feel can be a franchise quarterback of the future. So do you roll in something else? Do you think there's any trade value for Zach Wilson? If you do, you have to go up and get that. If not, at 13, you might be right on the fringe of a guy that you feel can take a season, battle it out. I don't know if Mike Smith's going to be back there. We don't know if Joe Flacco is just going to roll it out and be the Terminator one more time and just come back for another season. You know, I mean, you never know what you can lead with veterans. But if you can get a guy in there that's young and try to learn vicariously from the mistakes Zach Wilson made and not repeat them, maybe that's something that you feel you can develop.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, finding a blue chip young quarterback prospect to grow and develop is always the dream situation. That's plan A. But I think when you look at what this team put on display last year, and if they would have gotten even just mediocre or slightly below average production at quarterback, they probably make the playoffs this year. That's it. That's all they needed. That's how good their roster is, and that's how bad their quarterback play was in 2022, really, at the end of the day. So I think it's pretty well known by now. The Jets got to be looking at a veteran quarterback. You would think. You look at what Robert Saleh's done to the defense. They built a legitimate powerhouse on that side of the ball. But then you got great weapons on the other side of the ball. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. If Mekhi Becton can come back and just do anything, their offensive line looks solid on paper. And if he doesn't, they can draft someone else to replace him in round one with that 13th pick. Either way, I think the team is just so built to win now. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees it. They're just one legitimate quarterback away from just this kind of instant success. And that just doesn't come around very often. So looking at the situation at 13, do they want to package something and move up? They could. Again, we're not counting anything out this early in the draft process. But I think a veteran at the end of the day seems like the most plausible scenario.
Yeah, I think it may be best for the direction of the franchise as well. Taking another chance for, especially for Robert Saleh, might be a little bit too far down the road.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Jimmy G, Derek Carr? I mean, is that almost too simple or too easy? Or are we fastening our seatbelts up and watching history repeat itself with another blockbuster move like Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that seems a little far-fetched to me, but who knows?
I have to agree that does feel far-fetched. When you make a hire that is so familiar with Rodgers, we'll talk about that and whether that's actually reality on the next show so you guys don't miss that. The question is going to be, do we get top three picks? Is it going to be that top three scenario? That would require two trade outs. We're going to talk about those in the next show as well. Those are the teams that need the quarterbacks and a couple of sneaky options as well. So thank you guys for tuning in with us today. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell on YouTube. Get subbed on all the audio platforms because we're going to be back next time. Talk about trades, who could move, how expensive it's going to be, and is it worth it going up? Thanks, Luke, for being here. First show with us. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Always had a great time with you, Ryan. Appreciate it. See you next time.
Have a good one, folks. We'll talk to you next time.